togetherness. If you missed it, you can go on the website and on the podcast and listen to it. And we talked about togetherness, and then we talked about touch. But there's something else that I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about something tonight. I want to talk about Thanksgiving. Amen. I want to talk about showing an attitude of gratitude towards your children. Oftentimes, as parents, we can be so hard on our children. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. We still here, right? Y'all still here? Amen. We can be so hard on them that we can discourage them to the point where we're not thankful. We're not showing them, you know, we're not thanking them or showing gratitude to them. Amen. And so one of the things I said, an attitude of gratitude works both ways. You know, tell your children daily how thankful you are for them. Amen. 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 I don't know if you do that now. I don't know, you know, if that's something you communicate. But I want to say this. You can use these things in any relationship and it'll work. Amen. In a marriage, whatever the case may be. You know, tell your spouse you're thankful for them. Amen. It's communication. Amen. Tell your boss thank you. Amen. Thank you for the job. Amen. I know, you know, it may seem kind of crazy, but guess what? When you didn't have the job, you remember how you felt? Amen. But now you do have the job. So guess what? Be thankful. Be like the man who was grateful. Amen. And I may go into that tonight about gratitude tonight. Amen. About what it means to be grateful. Amen. So I want to look, man, that's where I'm going to go tonight. Amen. What does it mean to be grateful? Amen. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go to Acts chapter 3 for me. Amen. I want to just kind of capture a piece. We'll start here and we'll look at this thankfulness stuff. Amen. You know, an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't take much to show gratitude. But what happens to people sometimes when they take people for granted, come on, somebody. Amen. When they take, you know, you can take God for granted. Come on, somebody. How many of you know you can take God for granted? You have taken God for granted. Amen. Amen. And so an attitude of thankfulness simply means that, listen, I'm thankful for what you have done. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. What does it say there? What does it say? They were going where? To the temple. So in other words, they were going to the right place. Amen. They were, and notice this, they were going where? Up. Whenever you come to church, remember this, you're not going down, and you shouldn't feel down, amen, because you're going up. Amen. We're going a little higher. We just worship God. We're going a little higher. Amen. He says they were going up to the temple. Amen. Go ahead. At the what hour? See, this is what I want to say to somebody here today. Don't miss the prayer time. Amen. Don't miss the praise time, but definitely don't miss the prayer time. Amen. There are three things you don't want to miss in church. Prayer time, praise time, and preaching time. Write it down somewhere. Amen. Three things you don't want to miss in church. Prayer time, praise time, and preaching time. Amen. You don't want to miss that. Amen. And then stay around long enough for the benediction. The benediction is where you get the blessings upon you as you leave from what you just experienced. Amen. In the presence of God. All right. So those are three times that you don't want to miss. So they were going up to the ninth hour, the hour of what? Prayer. Go ahead. Read it for me. Now, let me see if you can identify with this man. Go ahead. Now, here's the thing. This man had been lame from his mother's womb. Now, in the next chapter, chapter 4, it tells us how old he was. He was 40 years old. So just imagine this. For 40 years, they had been bringing him around the church. They've been dropping him off at church. See, this is the danger about gratitude. Watch this. About not being grateful. Because what can happen at times when we're not grateful, we can come to church and even miss, come on somebody, what God is trying to do or what the word that God is trying to speak into your life. Amen. And so what the writer says that they used to drop him off, amen, every day they used to bring him to church, drop him around the church, but he never got helped while coming in the church. Do you know that you can come to church week after week, year after year, amen, come through these doors for prayer time, for praise time, for preaching time, and never be helped? My. Amen. For 40 years, they had been bringing this man to church. Amen. Read the next verse for me. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 3. Now, let me just say real quick. Notice it says that they used to set him down every day. Now, what did they used to bring him to church for? See, this is what I want to say to you. See, when you don't have an attitude of gratitude, all you would want to do, all you want from the church is to take. Come on, somebody. All you want is what God will give you, and you may not want to return anything to God. See, he was being laid at the gate called Beautiful, right? Every day they would say, man, get up, it's time to go to work. That was his job. His job was to come to church to take, to beg. Amen. And you know, sometimes we can do that. You know, we want God to do something so bad for us. God, I need you to do this for me. God, I need this from you. God, I need this from you. And from the moment God gives you that, what you gonna do? Come on, somebody. You see, I know there are a lot of people who say they would be grateful, but I have seen people after they have gotten their breakthrough, after they have gotten their blessings, after they have gotten everything that they wanted from God, amen, they showed to themselves to say, you know what? Amen. I'm not grateful. And that's one thing we have to also be with our children. We have to be thankful to them. We have to tell them, thank you every now and then. Thank you, child, for obeying. Thank you for not taking advantage of the situation. I know you had ups and downs and in-betweens, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, you want to show your children, amen, and not only that, but show God that you're grateful. If you and I don't have a grateful heart, amen, all we will do is take from God. All we would look for is, listen, he came there looking to receive alms every single day. Every single day. Now, watch this. This is the part that really gets me about this verse, right? All these people would pass by him every day, right? And you know what? Every week, right? Every day, actually. Amen. And guess what they would do? They would give him a dollar. But never would they stop and say, you know what, man, let me pray for you. Let me read the word to you. You follow what I'm saying? And oftentimes, that's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we want the material things from God, but it's the spiritual that we're lacking. See, your spiritual will motivate the physical. Are you with me? Watch this. When your spiritual life is intact, you will begin to grow. You will begin to blossom. You will begin to be blessed. Amen. But here's the thing. You have to make up in your mind right now, I'm going to be grateful. Amen. Amen. Turn to them and say, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful. Amen. And you know, gratitude, I taught this on my Thursday night class. Gratitude is something that starts in the heart. Listen, gratitude sometimes has to be taught. Oh, my gosh. Because some people have been through so much stuff. Listen, if your parents never told you, thank you, or I'm thankful for you, amen, you will grow up with this exterior, amen, where you have to defend yourself all the time. Come on, somebody. Amen. And then listen, when you do get something, you're going to, that's the last piece of car you're going to have. Are you serious? God's got more things in store for you. Amen. Go ahead. Read that for me now. Sure. Absolutely right. Hey. You just on them fellas, boy. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying. Amen. Amen. Things have changed, though, you know. Yeah. Since then. Amen. Since then. Amen. Amen. All right, go ahead. Verse 3. Go. Talk about she's changed. You see, here's the thing. Nobody had taken the time to tell him to pay attention in church. Some of us come to church and our mind is not even here. God's trying to bless you, and you're thinking about, man, what am I going to eat? What time? Pastor just keep talking. I don't know why he just keep talking. See, here's the kind of minds you got to watch out for. You ready for this? Closed mind. Cluttered mind. Amen. You have to have a committed mind and a consecrated mind. Because if your mind is closed, amen, you're not going to get anything. But if your mind is cluttered with all kinds of other things, it's difficult to receive. Listen, he demanded his attention. See, everybody else would do this. They would walk by and just drop it in his hand and walk away. They wouldn't even look at him. Nobody had. See, so, let me say this to you. See, watch this, and I'm going to use this in two scenarios. With your children, sometimes they're just looking for a little attention. They want you to look at them. They want you to look them in the eye and say, you know what, thank you. Sometimes you have to demand their attention. Amen. And it's the same thing with any other relationship or thing. When you come into the presence of God, right, pay attention, because what God has to say to you will transform your life. Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, the word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Watch this. The word can deal with your mind, your body, and your soul. Come on, somebody. Listen, the word can transform you into somebody that you've never even been before in your life. Why? Because when you pay attention to what God, what the preacher is saying, one of my pastors I would always say is this. If you want a miracle, pay attention to what the preacher is saying. But see, when you pay attention to what God is saying through the preacher, when your breakthrough come, listen, you're not going to give credit to the preacher, you're going to give credit to God. Are you with me? Because God speaks through the preacher. Are you with me? Look what the text says. Go on. It says what? And he began what? Giving him his attention. Verse 6. Come on now. Now notice this. Peter said, I don't have what you desire, but I have something greater. What I'm trying to say tonight is, I have something greater for you tonight. That's the word of God. You see, silver and gold, listen, money can buy you sex, but it can't buy you love. Come on, somebody. Listen, money cannot buy you peace, Money cannot buy you happiness. Money, it's all temporary. But what Peter was saying is, you have a greater need. And the greater need in your life is spiritual. What you really need is Jesus. Now watch this. How come nobody, after 40 years, now think about this for a minute. 40 years he's been sitting at this gate. Can I ask you something? How long have you been sitting around the church? How long have you been sitting around the church? Listen, and have you changed? That's the question. You see, you got to be careful. I've been talking about this on the prayer line, that when you, if you're going to build your life on a firm foundation, you have to build it with sound teaching. Because if you don't have sound teaching, amen, your life... Watch out for false prophets. Amen. Listen, wolves in sheep's clothing. Got to be very careful of that. And I tell you why. Because when a wolf shows up in sheep's clothing, it's to take you away from your God. This man had been sitting there for 40 years. Can I ask you something? How long have you been sitting at the church? Has your life changed? Amen. And if your life is not changing, then it's difficult for you to be grateful to God. Amen. And let me say this. God is pursuing you just as much as you want to pursue him. Look what he says next. He says, and seizing him by the right hand, he gave him the right hand of fellowship. And he said to him, he says, and he raised up what? Immediately. Watch this now. Let me just say. See, when you pay attention, God can raise you up. Come on, somebody. God can raise you up from where you are. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you're sitting tonight. I don't know if you are sitting there around the church. I don't know if you're going through some things right now and you're having a difficult time. But I will say this to you tonight. God can raise you up. And it only takes one thing: you believing in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to do. You got to believe in the name and the power of the name of Jesus. Listen, his name has power. Amen. His name has power. Demons get to moving. Amen. People get delivered. People get healed in the name of Jesus. And listen, if you're not in that place tonight, amen, you got to get to that place, because watch this. Watch. The Bible says, immediately he raised him up, and immediately, listen, how many want your breakthrough tonight? It can happen right now. Listen, it's, you don't have to wait no longer. You don't have to keep saying 75 Hail Marys and amen and run around the building 15 times and pour some oil on your head. And you don't have to do all that. You don't have to. Listen, it can happen. Somebody tonight, God wants to give it to you tonight. God wants to give it to you tonight, but it's predicated upon your heart being grateful. Because watch this. When you leave here tonight, if you expect your miracle, you will see your miracle. But watch this. The question is, what are you going to do when you get your miracle? Because if you're grateful now, before your miracle, boy, I wish I had somebody with me. If you're grateful now before your miracle, God will make sure that you have an immediate blessing. God wants to know if we're grateful. Let me say this to you. The children of Israel, and I'm gonna show you in a minute. I'm gonna show you that scenario. Children of Israel, they were in Egypt. Have you ever been in Egypt before? How many have been in Egypt before? Huh? You know what Egypt is like? You're enslaved. You're enslaved to Jack Daniels. You're enslaved to Corona. Amen. And a whole lot of other things. Amen. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Amen. All right. And listen. Egypt is a place where sometimes when you've been there too long, you develop a mentality. You see, God, it had gotten so hard for the people that the Bible says that they cried out to God day and night. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have been praying for something? What you been praying for? Your anger. All right? What you been praying for? Deliverance. Salvation of your granddaughters and the sale of your house. Anybody else? You've been praying. You've been asking. Better life. Right? You've been asking. You've been praying. Closer relationship with God. What you got? Closer relationship with anger. Be a better man. Amen. Be a godly man. Amen. Anybody else? Like the man sitting by the gate, right? Woo, that's powerful. Forgiveness and to wear the full armor of God. That's how you deal with anger. That's the first step to dealing with anger, right? You got to forgive, and then you got to put on the full armor of God, right? You got to put on the helmet of salvation. But I'm saying, right, you've been asking. You've been asking. And listen, I want you to do me a favor. Don't stop asking. Every day when you wake up, every moment that you get, open your mouth and say, God, I'm asking you for this. Listen, don't stop asking. And don't let people stop you from asking. Don't let your schedule, don't let your lifestyle, don't let anything stop you from. Listen, come as you are with your mess. Amen. Listen, I was an angry person. I was an addicted person. I was an unforgiven person. But let me tell you something. I didn't stop pursuing God, even though God knew I wasn't grateful. Even though God knew that in my heart I didn't really mean it, he still was working on me. Children of Israel, they're asking, just like you're asking. God, please, deliver us. The Egyptians, you know what they did? They used to bring the material to make bricks. Now they told them, listen, go get it yourself. And then, go get it yourself, but I want double the production in the same day. And if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you. So they're in a predicament, right? Has life ever been like that on you? Where the demands have been, watch this, the demands have been literally impossible. I don't know, Pastor, how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know how I'm going to see my way through. I don't know. The demands have been, listen, you've been in a situation right now where it seems impossible to get out of it. But here's what you got to remind yourself of. We serve a God that does not sleep. We serve a God that has an ear to hear. He understands your thought from afar. But see, what the determination of your deliverance, watch this, is determined upon your heart. Are you grateful? God, I'm grateful. Even though I don't see my deliverance yet, I'm grateful. I'm going to get to the children of Israel in a minute. But watch this text. Watch the text. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. And with a leap, he stood what? And began to what? May I say this to you? If you pay attention to what the preacher is saying, if you apply what the preacher is saying, you will begin to do things that you have never done before in your entire life. Somebody here, you're on the verge of greatness. I'm going to say it one more time. Let me see if I can paint this picture for you. You are on the verge of greatness. It requires a level of faith. Your faith, amen, is predicated on your deliverance. You need faith to get out of this. Right? God wants to show you things. God wants you to do things that, listen, this man had never walked from the womb. But one day, while sitting in the place where he was profiting physically, but not profiting spiritually. You don't want to come to church and not profit spiritually. You don't want to come to church and you're being blessed financially, but spiritually you're broken down. Come on, somebody. You know how you're broke spiritually? Amen. You can't pray. You can't praise. You definitely can't stand the preaching. Amen. And then when you leave here, you definitely can't apply the word of God to your life. I know all of us want something different. How many want something different tonight? I know you want something different. But I'll say this to you, like the man sitting at the gate, I want to see you get your breakthrough. But it's predicated on something. Watch this. The text says, he seized him by the right hand. He raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were what? So let me say this to you real quick. What he really needed all those years was strength. He needed strength. He had all the, he had legs, but strength. Somebody here, I'm trying to talk quick. You have all the components, but you have no strength. You have all the pieces to the puzzle, but you have no strength. Your strength lies in the name of Jesus. Your strength lies in the application of the word of God. Because watch this. When he heard the word, he acted upon the word. Had he not, listen, he wasn't expecting a miracle. He was expecting money. Come on, somebody. God has a way of messing up our plans. You come expecting money, God's going to give you a miracle. See, here's the thing. I'm trying to say this to you. Don't give up on your dreams just because they're not showing up right now. He had totally given up on walking. Ouch, I'm feeling myself tonight. Listen, he had given up on walking. Can I ask you something? What have you given up on? School? Oh, I can't go to school no more. I can't do this no more. I can't. Listen, what have you given up on? Because if you give up and you still have all the components, but it's not working, it tells you that you need some help. You know what kind of help you need now? Spiritual help. How many have tried it your way? Can I ask you a question? How did that work out for you? Didn't work out so good, did it? Listen, and you got some stuff just sitting around. You have some abilities, some gifts, some talents. Listen, God's just waiting for you to get back to class. That's all. The degree is already waiting for you. Come on, somebody. God's just waiting for you to enroll. Okay? He doesn't want you to worry about how you're going to pay for it. He just wants you to get in the race. so that you can do things that you've never done before. But see, here's the thing. I believe that you got to want it. So let me ask you a question. How many of you really want it? I mean, you really, really, really. Listen, with everything inside of you, you want it. You got to want it. This man was expecting one thing, but he got something different. And he's able to do things that he'd never done before. But watch the text. The text says, and with a leap, look at verse 8. He stood upright and he began to what? Now, let me get to gratitude now. Now, let me say this to you. See, some of us are asking or wondering, why is it happening for me? Because God knows, did you start walking? We won't see you again. That's the truth. The moment you get blessed, the moment you get your situation cleared up, we won't see you again. Time has proven that. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've had people tell me, listen, they stood right here. Pastor, I'm going to do it for God. God, I'm going to do it for you. And from the moment they got their breakthrough, they disappeared. Read the text. What did he do after he walked? He did what? He did what? He did. Hold on a minute. He didn't say, well, Pastor, you know, I got this new job, and this new job is taking me, you know, they told me I got to work on Tuesdays now. They told me I got to work on Sundays now. They told me, amen, that I can't come to church anymore. Now, what did he do? He got up, and where did he go? Why did he go in the temple? Can I ask you something? Why did he go in the temple? Huh? He went to the temple amongst the people who had been walking by him every day. Couldn't offer him anything. Couldn't offer him nothing but money. Money can't buy you everything. Money couldn't buy him his healing. Money couldn't buy him his deliverance. Money could not buy him what he really, really desired, what he had given up on. May I ask you something? What have you given up on? It's going to take Jesus to fix that for you. Watch the text. He did what? He with a leap stood up right and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them. What was he doing? Is that an attitude of what? He was grateful for what God had done. He was thankful, and he showed. Listen, here's what I want to say to you. If you're going to be grateful, you got to show it. How do you show your gratefulness? Listen, the days that you don't feel good, that's the day you need to run to this church. The days that you don't feel like you can do it anymore, I don't know if I can do this anymore. That's the day you need to run in here and you need to lift your hands and you got to say, you know what? I remember when I was laying in front of the gate, crippled. I remember when I was lame and I couldn't do anything with myself. I remember when I couldn't even understand why. I remember the years I stood here in the rain. I remember the years I stood right here at this gate and people just passed me by. They didn't offer me what I really needed. They were offering me things of the flesh. They were not offering me Jesus. I remember the day that I met him and he changed my life. Listen, I don't want to be a person, amen, that just talks about it. I want to show God. I have something. I don't have something to prove, but I want to show God that I'm grateful. And every now and then, you have to show your gratefulness. Every now and then, you have to show it through your praise and through your thanksgiving and through your love for him. Look what the text says. He says he praising. He was in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Verse 9. And all the people saw him, what? Praising God. What was he doing? Walking and praising God. See, here's the thing. If you have a heart of gratitude, no one has to teach you how to praise. Come on, somebody. If you're thankful already, nobody has to tell you how to. You know how in church people say, okay, y'all, let's clap our hands. You ever been there? You know what I'm saying? Come on, clap our hands. Nobody has to tell me to clap. Listen, it's natural that because God, can I ask you, has God done anything for you? How many here tonight can say he's done something for you? Well, come on and praise him. Come on and thank him. Come on and tell him, Lord, thank you. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is it's easy to do it when you know it's him. Listen, man couldn't do what God did for me. I am where I am is because of God and nobody else. Listen, I watched some of you come here with piece of a car. Come on, somebody. Piece of a car. You're driving a 2015. Paid for. I don't think you're hearing me. Has it been easy after? But let me tell you what keeps you going. A heart of gratitude. Listen, a heart of gratitude is what keeps you going. When you leave here and the odds are stacked against you, when life just seems like it's so hard. Listen, I told you last week, when you go to work, thank God. Listen, thank you. Thank you for the check. I could be sitting around doing nothing. Watch this man. Verse 10. And they were what? Now, let me say this. You got to be careful after you get your breakthrough of your haters. All right, you're going to have some haters. You're going to have some people, okay, that are going to say, why does she scream so loud? Some of you scared to scream out in church. I'm serious. You're like conservative. You understand what I'm saying? You try to be cute and stuff. You know, shoot, if I scream, they're gonna think I'm crazy. Shoot. I ain't doing that. You know what I mean? But every now and then, sometimes, don't you feel like screaming? I'm serious. Sometimes, don't you feel like there used to be a song we used to sing. I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise you. You gotta praise. You got to praise and you got to get it out. You got to praise. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to get that thing out. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes it's just bottled up. Sometimes rather than cry and fuss and cuss, you got to praise your way through that thing. You see what I'm saying? Because you're grateful. Listen, when you look at, you were at the crush of death and God brought you back from death. Come on, somebody. Amen. Listen, you should have had HIV. You should have had something, but God saved you. He delivered you. He transformed you. And here you are in your right mind with good health, good strength. You should be praising. See, his dilemma is no different than our dilemma. He was there, lame. And what did this man do? He said, man, shoot, I'm going in. Look at verse 10. He says, and as they were taking note of him as being one who used to. Look at that. Look at that right there. I like that. See, that's what I like. Look at me now. Look at me. That's what you got to say to say. Look at me now. Yes, yes, yes. Listen, I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody out there. Oh, I wish I had you. See, watch this. Watch the scenario. He could have said, you know what? Shoot, I'm going to go home and show them. I can walk now, y'all. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. But he says, no, I'm going to go before God. And I'm going to show those, watch this, who used to pass me up every day, who used to overlook me every day. For 40 years, you've been overlooking me. I've been wanting to go where you were going. You wouldn't bring me in the church. But guess what? Now God done caused me to do it on my own. Somebody here, I want to tell you something. God wants you to stand up and do it on your own. And when you stand up and he blesses you, walk into the house of God. You show up here with your new car. You show up here with your new job. You glorify God and tell God thank you, because listen, what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for my good. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm feeling myself tonight. Y'all better watch out. Look what he says next. Text says, and they will take note of me. Take note of me. Look at me now. I'm going to get me one t-shirt and say, look at me now. Look what he said. Look what he said. He says, and I'm not where I used to be. See, you thought I was going to be there longer than you thought. Listen, you thought I was going to be there all my life. But I thank God for Jesus. Come on, somebody. You see, people thought you were going to be at the bottom all of your life. But God. Come on, somebody. See, watch what he said. Says, and they were taking note of him as the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And let me tell you what people will do after you get your breakthrough. You ready for this? They're going to always try to bring up your past. But you tell them, that's my past, boo. That's my past. Yeah. You're going to take note of me as the one who used to beg. Why you want to bring up my past? I know I used to beg. Come on, somebody. You know, you feel kind of embarrassed after you eyes are open when you realize what you used to do. Come on, somebody. When your eyes are open and you realize what you used to do, you'd be like, man, I can't believe I used to do that. Amen. Paul talks about that in Romans 6. Paul says in Romans 6, he says, listen, the things that you used to do that you were embarrassed of, amen, guess what? You're ashamed of those things. But I say this today. I say this to you today. No matter what they try to do to bring up your past, amen. Leave it in the past. Listen, you may try to bring up what I used to be. Yeah, I was a hooker. Yeah, I was a drug dealer. Yeah, I was this. Yeah, I was that. Yeah, I was all of this. But guess what? I'm not that anymore. You see, I'm clothing my mind now. And listen, let me say this. Satan will try to bring up your past. Watch this. He's tried to bring up your past to deny your present and to cause you, to stop praising like you should. That's what he does. So he'll always try to bring up your past so that you won't praise him like you really want to. You ever been in a church where you suppressed, you can't really get it out, you can't really praise? You can't, because everybody's like, you know, yeah, everybody's dignified now. Amen. We ought to have an undignified praise. text says. And they were filled with what? Wonder and amazement at what? At what had happened to who? To him. Now. To the book of Exodus. Now, you know the story, right? Y'all watched it on television for Easter, right? About Moses bringing the people out, right? Okay. God had brought them out, or bringing them out at this Exodus. Did I say Exodus or I said Genesis? I said Exodus, didn't I? Okay. Exodus let's start off in 12. Yeah, 12, 33. Now, here's what Pharaoh wouldn't let. See, here's the thing. Every now and then, you're going to run into a Pharaoh in your life. Let me just say this to you. Lord, thank you, Jesus. When you try to leave Egypt, you got to put up a fight. Oh, Satan ain't letting you go. I want to tell you something. Satan is not letting you go. So it's going to take the power of God, amen, for you to get your deliverance. Now, Pharaoh was stubborn. So verse 29 of chapter 12, read that for me, somebody. Now it came about at midnight. Okay. Yes. So what did God do? God struck the firstborn, right? All the firstborn children. Cattle, everything, dead. But why? Because Pharaoh did not want to what? Let God's people go. May I say this to you? God wants you to go, but you got to want to go. All right? Go ahead. Oh my gosh. That's pretty heavy, ain't it? Then what? I mean, some things could have been prevented. I mean, come on, Pharaoh. You could see, I want to say this to somebody tonight. Don't let your stubbornness cause you to have to cry. Oh, I wish I had somebody. If God's trying to deliver you, surrender. If you don't surrender, you're going to have to feel it. And I don't want to see you go through no pain. Necessary pain. Let God deliver you. See, the problem with Lot's wife, you know what the problem was with Lot's wife? She loved the world. So when she was being delivered, when God was delivering them, right, she had to look back. And you know what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. You know what a pillar of salt means? You're stuck. You won't move. You'll stay right where you are forever. Some people like to stay the same place. Some people will never move because they've turned back. They keep looking back. Listen, can I tell you something? Stop looking in the rearview mirror. You have a big windshield in front of you. Why would you live your life through a mirror looking backwards when you have a big windshield before you? Read on. Verse 31.
Both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have.
That's all they wanted to do. All they wanted to do was what? Worship. You see, here's the thing. You and I have an opportunity every week to worship. Some people's worship are hindered. Listen, some people want to be in church, but the devil has such a clutch on them, such a hold on them, they can't make it. They can't break through it. But you and I have an opportunity. All they wanted to do was worship. And listen, God will deal with those who hinder your worship. I'm going to let you know that. He sure will. He did it to Pharaoh, didn't he? See, and here's how God deals with your enemy. He hits him where it hurts. He knows how to do that. That's why you have to stop fighting your enemies and start praying for your enemies. And God will fight your battle if you sit still. Amen. Pray for your enemies. If he's hungry, feed him. Get him a two-piece dinner. Popeye's tonight special. Is that true? Don't get me started on the two-piece special. This church has a spirit of two-piece special. Go ahead. And he said, take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and what? And what? And bless me also. What's up with Pharaoh, man? Pharaoh said, why you go and bless me too? After he had got to go through all this stuff, right? Sometimes we make it real difficult for ourselves when all we had to do was say, God, okay, I'm grateful. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. Why are we so hard-headed? Amen. I'm talking for the hard-headed people. Now here's what you got to say. Ouch, amen, or thank you. Whichever one you want, whichever category you fall in. Why are we so hard headed? Seriously. I mean, listen, and we are the ones that suffer the consequences for our hard headedness, right? Kaya, right? Am I right about it? Am I right, Kaya? Kaya, am I right? Hey, see, and that's what the problem is right there. She ain't hearing me. Amen. Verse 33. And the Egyptians what? Urged the people to send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be what? Dead. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls bound up in cloth on their shoulder. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the what?
Word of Moses.
Watch this now. I'm trying to get somewhere. And they have what? Requested from the Egyptians. Watch this now. See, here's the thing about God. When God gets ready to deliver you, he'll finance the trip. He'll make your enemies your footstool. Listen, people who took from you will give you. That's how God works. Look, they got their dough, their bread, and the unleavened bread. And watch what God did. Watch what God did now. And they had rested, watch this, from the Egyptians, what? The same people, and you worried about how you're going to make it. The same people that hurt them, the same people that mistreated them, are the same people that bless them. See, God will use your enemies to bless you. You have to stand still and let God be God and you be you. I've been saying that for a minute. Now watch the text. And the Lord had given the people what? See, you don't just need silver. See, here's the thing. Your deliverance does not just require silver and gold. You need favor. And I preached about favor. And I say this to you. Favor is better than money. Now I'm going somewhere. Now, we're looking at all this here. And I want to fast forward the story here in a minute. Now, let me say this. There's 600,000 people getting ready to get out of here. 600,000 people. Watch this. It says, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they had let them have their requests. Thus they what? The Egyptians. Now, the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000, what? Aside from what? And a mixed multitude so went up with them, along with the flocks. Now remember, they had been in captivity for 400 years. Now see, here's what I want to say to you. When your deliverance comes, it may come at the sacrifice of somebody else. That's why it's so important that if you haven't really been in a struggle, why do you put yourself in a struggle? You don't even need to be struggling, but you're struggling because you want to identify with the cause. Really? Seriously? What that makes you feel better? That makes you feel, well, I want to identify with the cause. I want to struggle. You got people. You got a mama. You got a daddy. You got some people that can help you. But your pride won't let you say, you know, let me get some help. You want to identify with the struggle. Now watch the text. Watch the text. Watch the text now. Boy, the Bible is awesome. Isn't it awesome? Isn't the Bible awesome? Bible's awesome. Bible's awesome. Watch text. Watch text. Watch text. And there are a very large number of livestock. Verse 39. And they baked the dough. Not the dough that you're thinking about, John. Now, give me some dough. All right. Which they had brought out of Egypt into what? Cakes of unleavened bread. For it had not become leavened. Now, you know what unleavened means, right? Without yeast. Untainted, all right? Since they were driven out by the Egyptians and could not delay, nor they had prepared any provisions for themselves. Now, verse 40. Now, the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was what? Now, we saw something earlier. There was a man who had been lame for how many years? But now we have a people who had been in captivity for 400 and how many years? Now let me ask you a question. How long has it been for you? Tonight, God wants you to come out. Tonight's your coming out party. Now hold on now. Hold on now. You're coming out of your dilemma. You're coming out of your situation. You're coming out of your circumstance. You're coming out to say, God, I'm going to be grateful. I'm no longer going to live in Egypt. I'm no longer going to sit around the church and not be helped. I'm no longer going to come to Bible study and not get anything. Amen. But tonight I'm expecting my miracle. Now watch the text. And it came about the end of 438 years to that very day that all the hosts of the Lord went up from the what? Land of Egypt. Now, I want you to fast forward the story now. We're going to fast forward to verse 17 of chapter 13. Now let me say this. You know, this is the reason why I'm passionate about this study. Exodus 13, 17. Because this is what happened to us. Remember coming out, they were all excited, right? They had money, they had it all. They were 430 years, they were shoot. Now they're on fire, right? And I see some of you do this. You know, you get your breakthrough one week, you come to church, you get it's happy, and then next week you come. I was like, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? When life gets tough. Verse 17, now it came about when Pharaoh had let the people go, watch this, that God did what? Did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, watch this. Now, let me say this to you. Man, what time is it? I got to make sure I keep my time. Hold on. I don't think I got enough time to finish this. Oh, man, I got 2 minutes. Gosh. Man. Watch this. When God delivers you, he may not take you the easy way. He has to take you the long way. Some of us need to go the long way around. There's two ways to get to Galveston. Did you know that? Come on. 288 is longer. Sometimes God got to take you up 288. The long way. You know why? Because, watch this. If he took you 45, read the text. Read verse 13 for me. Come on, somebody. Read. Come on. You know, the playoffs talk. Come on. I'm sorry. Come on, y'all. Come on. Read it for me. 17. Come on, somebody. 13, 17. Okay, I meant 13, 17 then. Uh-huh. Now, watch this. The way through the Philistines was like 45. Go ahead. Stop right there. Let me say this to you. And I'm done. I'm finished. Why is it the first sign of adversity you want to turn back? Why is it that from the moment that something bad happens, listen, you just left church. You just was leaping and jumping and praising God. And you got your breakthrough and your blessing. But guess what? The moment you hit something hard, I ain't going to church today. The first thing you say, I ain't going today. But you'll get up tomorrow and go to work, though. But you're talking about you grateful. You were grateful. Are you emotional or are you grateful? That's the question. See, because sometimes, listen, the adversities that you have is divinely orchestrated. God has to take some of us the long way. We hard-headed. Look what the text says. The text says, if I take them the short way. Watch this. Even though it was near, for God says, lest the people change their... Why is it that we change our minds so quickly? We spiritually dysfunctional. We got to fix that. You can't be up. We bipolar spiritually. 1 minute. One minute we just pray, woo-hoo. Next minute we can. And look, you sit there in church Sunday. I'm like, man, what is? You know, I come to church sometimes. I'd be like, man, what is? What could possibly? Listen, last week you just woo-hoo. This was just last week. This was Tuesday night. All right, and then Sunday morning. And I'm just saying, you're just looking crazy. You're just looking like somebody stole your grapes. I mean, I'm seriously, who took your ball? And then look, then you want to take the ball from everybody. If I ain't playing, nobody's playing. If I ain't going to church, nobody going to church. The first thing we give up, the first thing we say, I ain't going to church. Why is it that the first thing we say is, I ain't going? What did the church do to you? I'm just saying, what did God do so that the first thing, I ain't going? Seriously, you were just praising, you were just leaping. You were just jumping around, everybody was watching you. And you know what I do when I see some of you come up here for prayer? You know what I do when I leave here? I be going on my knees. I pray for you. I said, Lord, let it stick. Please let it stick, Lord. Lord, because that stuff will wear off. Because by Sunday after you done hit everything but the kitchen sink, right? Listen. When you see war, listen, when war rises up again, you have a changed mind. You know what? I'm going back to Egypt. See, God already knew the people's fickleness. He knew, listen, and we're no different than them. From the moment something difficult happens, I'm going back to Egypt. Amen. When you're coming home, bring me a 40, right? Listen, I went to one pack. Bring me a carton. Shoot, stop by the weed house on the way too. Don't forget the weed. We need some weed. Shoot, we gotta turn it up. Come on now, we gotta do this. Amen. Yeah. We go to church next week. Look, we go to church next week. Seriously, I'm just saying. You were just leaping. You were just jumping. You were just praising God like you were crazy. Listen, you had a crazy praise. Seriously. But then all of a sudden, war. I ain't going to church. That's it. I ain't going to church, I promise you. He ain't going to see me today, I tell you that. Shoot, I know he done put it on text message, but not today. Shoot, too late. You don't understand the struggle out here. Do you know the demons I put up with every day? But I got to press my way. When I wasn't feeling good, when I'm down, when I'm coughing and hacking and losing my voice and all kinds of stuff, guess what? I had to show up. But if you are as grateful as I am grateful, amen. We can all get along. We can make this thing happen. Listen, we can defy Satan. What I'm trying to say is defy Satan. Stop letting Satan take your joy. Seriously. And then when you see the war coming, see, God It's taking you the long way. Because some things you ain't ready for yet. Now, let me say this. Go to I want to show you this real quick. Go to verse 14. Chapter 14. See that? Now let me show you some of you and I'm done. Verse 10. Chapter 14, verse 10. Now remember, now Pharaoh changed his mind. Why God have your enemy to change his mind? Because if he don't, you'll settle where you are. You know why God sent Pharaoh after them? They had become comfortable with the blessings. Sometimes after you get blessed, you get comfortable. Okay? And because we lose our gratefulness, right? God's got to amp up. God's got to turn the heat up on us. Read that for me. Read that verse for me. What verse was that? 10? Yeah, go ahead. And as Pharaoh drew near, what? What had happened to them? They had become comfortable in the wilderness. That's what happened to them. Listen, you've had those periods where stuff going good. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, here come Pharaoh. But I thought we dealt with that. If you keep seeing your Pharaoh coming in your future, that means you done got comfortable where you are. Read it for me. They became one? Mm-hmm. Look what they did now. They cried out to who? Go ahead. Why? Now, let me tell you something. The first thing they did is blame the man of God and God. Look what they said. He said, then he said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Hold on a minute. Did you just say that? Why did we bring you? Do you know what life was like in Egypt? They forgot because they got comfortable. And after you've been delivered, you get comfortable. And if you're not grateful, amen, you will respond like this. Watch this. Watch what he said now. Verse 12. It says, is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt saying? See how people will turn on you? Pastor, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't ask for that, Pastor. I didn't ask for that. Really? You said you wanted to live for God. I'm telling you, you got to change your life. Come on, somebody. Pastor, I didn't say I was going to do that. Look what they said. Is this not the word that we spoke? Listen. Listen to what they said. They said, is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt saying, leave the daggonish? They said, leave us alone. Pastor, just leave me alone. You know what? I've had people that came to church. They pretended to be grateful. They got what they wanted. You know what they told me? Pastor, leave me alone. Don't call me. I don't want nothing to do with you. See, God knows the motives of everybody's heart. And as hurtful as that is, you can't prosper like that. Watch what it says. Didn't we tell you, leave us alone? That we may serve the what? Are you serious? When the pressure comes on, what are you going to do? Who are you going to stand with? For it would have been better for us. Oh my gosh. These were people that was just praising God for their deliverance. And now they backtrack to see if it don't get out of your heart. If Egypt don't get out your heart, that bitterness don't get out your heart. If listen. If that ungratefulness doesn't get out your heart, you'll turn around and say stuff like this to God. You should have just left me in Egypt. Matter of fact, listen, whenever you start believing it was better in the world, whenever you start believing it's better to do what you're doing that you know you're not supposed to do it, you got a heart problem. You see, here's the thing. God allowed Pharaoh to show up again. They thought, listen, sometimes when you get your clean break, you think it's over. But God said there's a test coming. And you got to pass this test. I hope, I pray tonight that we can all have a grateful heart. And that we could not be like these people. That when the pressure come on, you know what? I'm going back. God put you at this church. And the moment that you start going through some pressures, now you're talking about I'm going back. Go ahead. You see, they had went insane. Because the next verse comes the miracle. And guess what? They got happy for the miracle, but their statement reveals what was really in their heart because God knew their hearts. As I close tonight, I say this to you. Keep a spirit of gratitude. Don't let anybody, pressure, trials, don't let nothing. If you mean what you say, how many of you mean it tonight? How many really mean it tonight? You mean it tonight. God, I love you. I mean it tonight. How many choose tonight to say I'm going to be grateful? Amen. I want to pray for you tonight.